slow. My body is the mountain, the ocean, the river, the sand and the snow. The life gives so come on now, my friend. Speak to me, help me understand. Let us walk together. Take my hand and we will heal this land.
Good morning and welcome to Awaken Living Infusion Radio Show. I'm Connie Bierk.
And I'm Michelle Kitzmiller.
And we are your hosts. Together we explore health, wellness, spirituality, emotions, and life issues from new perspectives. Join us as together we infuse vitality into life. If you have a desire to live a life that's more than what you are currently experiencing, if you feel stuck, are experiencing health concerns, or are curious about ways to improve your life, this show will give you new perspectives and steps to change your life. Today we're going to be talking about rewiring the brain for your very best life. This segment will be about neuroplasticity. Say that five times. And how you can use it to make your life better. You know, as we prepared for this show, I was telling Michelle that not that long ago, it was thought that you were born with X number of brain cells, and that's all she wrote. That was it, and there were a number of things that you could do to kill off those brain cells and become dumber, and, you know, life would become more difficult. One of those things was drinking. Another was smoking and all those types of things. It was not thought or taught that the brain cells regenerate and they make new connections and, you know, that the brain is as powerful as it really is. So, yeah, it's been in my lifetime that that has changed. So,
thankfully.
Yeah, I know, right? But one of the things that I remember happening that changed it drastically, there was a woman who was in an accident of some kind, and they had to remove half of her brain in order to save her life. It was just, that was the way it went. And they really expected her to be a vegetable. That was it. But then a miracle happened. The functions of the part of the brain that was removed started reappearing. And what happened was the other hemisphere started really taking over for that. And, you know, then we started the study of neuroplasticity. Michelle, do you want to talk about that some?
Absolutely. So neuroplasticity is the ability of your brain to reorganize itself, both physically and functionally, which is reflected in the story you just told. Right. Half the brain was removed, the other half figured out, like, all right, what was that side doing and how do we need to make that work now? And so the great thing about that is it can help us in so many ways in life, right?
Well, right. And, you know, there's another myth, too, that the two hemispheres really didn't work together, you know?
Right. That are you right-brained or left-brained?
Right.
Are you creative or logical?
Absolutely.
And it doesn't quite work that way anymore, right?
No.
Never did.
The brain is always making new connections between the neurons, you know, and it's killing off old connections that were not being used, which is really good for us because we can make new connections with new habits, new things, and kill off the bad patterns and habits that we want to get rid of in our life.
Right. From every interaction, experience, either with our environment, our behaviors, our thinking, our emotions, all of those things rewire what's going on in our brain at any given moment. Or they cement a path that goes in one direction or the other in any given moment. And over your lifetime, as we learn different things, it creates a blueprint in our brain because when we're little, our brains are going crazy wanting to learn things. And this resiliency, this neuroplasticity that's creating these pathways is just on fire, right? Because we don't have anything to put the world into perspective when we're little. And so every experience, every emotion, every thought creates this underlying blueprint of parameters in this world. And because over the course of our lifetime, our brain consistently wants to go back and put things into perspective, we're looking at those past experiences to do that. And so we continue to create these ruts or highways in our brains that it likes to use because of what we've experienced. So the important thing about the plasticity, though, is that in any given moment, we can reorganize that thinking. And so if we have negative thinking or positive thinking, we can shift one way or the other. fascinating thing is research shows that our brains gravitates towards negative thinking. Mm-hmm. It's called a negativity bias. Yeah. So no matter what happens in life, our brains naturally want to look at the bad stuff and then sit there with it, which right. that doesn't sound any fun.
No, and when you think about the function of that, why it happened initially is worst case scenario type things for cavemen survival, okay? We're not in that time any longer. Changed. Yeah, thankfully things have changed. So we really need to be aware of that so that we can consciously make, you know, we're always talking about this, consciously making choices for our life that are more positive. It's amazing to me that the brain is only 3 pounds. This is just a little thing, right? And yet it's one of the most advanced organs in our body. It has over 100 billion nerve cells and support cells, you know, the neurons and the support cells. And when you think about that, that's equivalent to the number of stars in the galaxy, right? So we are amazingly made.
Pretty phenomenal.
Yeah. And so it's not really surprising that the brain can change the way that it does.
Right. And some of the ways that we may see that in our lives that's a little more obvious is, let's say someone has a stroke right. or a traumatic brain injury, and they have to relearn certain abilities or skills that they have. That's neuroplasticity. That's when your brain has to, you're retraining our brain to do something. And so if we can do it with physical things, we can do it with emotional things.
Right.
And so how we do that then is a fair number of steps, but when we're alert, engaged, and ready for action, it creates these neurochemicals in our brain that facilitate the change. However, when we're disengaged or distracted and we're just kind of letting our brains run on autoplay, we're not really doing ourselves a favor there. It's not creating the change that we want. It's just steering us towards that negativity bias and making that a deeper
rut.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. So the more we practice and the more intensity mm-hmm. in which we practice that, the greater the change we can elicit in our brains. And so anytime we can include sensory things and experiences, emotions, visualizations that are a part of what we want to change, the faster we can create the change, the more stable the change will be, the more our brains will gravitate towards that when we get to a point where it becomes a practiced or a habitual behavior.
Right. There's a process that we're going to talk about a little bit later that I'm going to talk about. It's called FEED, which stands for focus, effort, effortlessness, and determination, which is basically what you just said in a nutshell.
Yes. So the brain changes the more we rehearse something. And we'll talk more about how we can specifically make some of those changes in a later segment. But for right now, it's important to know that initial changes are temporary unless we continue to practice, to be conscious in our efforts, to engage those emotions and bring in those other sensory experiences that can really build on that.
So a great example that I know you use is music. Talk about that one. Do you remember this, how we learn how to play an instrument? And in the beginning, we're not very good. But as we get better, those cells, those neurons in our brain,
they fire together.
Right.
So there's a saying that what wires together fires together.
Absolutely.
And so the more cells we have working in conjunction with each other at the same time, the more powerful those superhighways we create in our brain are. And so music is a really wonderful example of that, learning how to play an instrument. There's studies that show if you put 10,000 hours of practice into something, you can be phenomenal at anything, right? So you don't necessarily have to be born as a gifted pianist, but if you've practiced a certain amount of time and your neurons are all firing together, you're phenomenal, even though you may not have been one of those gifted 3-year-olds that started playing Mozart at that age.
And it's interesting, too, when you put in that much time, that part of your brain, that area where it's activated, grows, okay? And there are studies that show when you learn how to play instruments as a child, that though you activate parts of your brain, that children who do not learn how to do that, they don't have that experience. That part of the brain isn't, you know, fired up. So there's a lot of important things to be said for learning a musical instrument before you know, as a child before the age of 10.
And language also.
Yes.
If you can learn language as a child, even I think it's up to 3 years old, you could be multilingual, bilingual, right. Multilingual by the time you're five.
And it's cool because when you learn it as a young child, you can actually learn it with the correct accents. But people who learn it in their 20s or whatever, they struggle with the accent. They will always have a little bit of an accent of their language of origin. You know, so people will, oh, okay, yeah, that's not your, that's not your main language, you know.
Right. And there's a comfort level to that. We get a little bit more self-conscious, maybe doing new things as we get older.
Absolutely. So there's a lot to be said about learning new things. It builds new pathways or connects different synapses in your brain to make a new pathway. And the more that we can do that with positive thoughts, positive rituals, positive interactions with people, the more that becomes a really centered way of being for us and our way of life. So it's really an important thing. So on the next segment of the show, we're going to be talking about how stress affects the brain. And that's really an important piece to this too. For more information, check out our website at awakenedlivinginfusion.com. You can find podcasts of our shows on our website, AM950's website, iTunes, or wherever you get your podcasts. Thank you so much for joining us this morning on Awakened Living Infusion Radio Show on AM950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. Come on back. Join us for brain vitality.
Hi, I'm Dr. Scott Chamblaut from Chamblaut Family Dentistry. We're the fear-free, get-you-out-of-pain-now dental office.
And I'm Rachel Chamblaut. Did you know a lot of people are afraid of the dentist? You don't need to be afraid of my dad. He makes going to the dentist comfortable and even fun.
We don't care if you're a dental regular or haven't seen a dentist in years. We just want to make you comfortable and get you out of pain.
If you don't see my dad, please see another dentist. Take care of your teeth because they're the only ones you get. Call 1-800-FIX-MY-TEETH or visit fixmyteeth.us.
Hi, I'm Scott Peterson with the Minnesota News Network, inviting you to join us for Minnesota Matters, a weekly program covering everything that matters in the North Star State. This week, an in-depth look at the results of this week's historic midterm elections in Minnesota, the impact of opioids in greater Minnesota, and much, much more. Tune us in right here or at MinnesotaNewsNetwork.com.
Listen to Minnesota Matters every weekend, Saturday mornings at 5:30 and Sunday mornings at 6:30 on AM 950.
I'm John Peterson of Ferndale Market, and I'm the third generation to grow turkeys on our family farm in Cannon Falls. We've grown them the same way since 1939, free range and without antibiotics. We're proud of the way our turkey tastes naturally, so we don't add a thing, just 100% pure turkey. Reserve your free range Thanksgiving turkey today for pickup at our store right on the farm in scenic Cannon Falls or at one of our metro retail partners. Visit us at ferndalemarket.com for more information or to reserve your turkey today.
Tom Hartman here letting you know how you can go solar with All Energy Solar, even way up north in Minnesota. Lots of people ask them, isn't Minnesota too cloudy for solar? No. The truth? For one thing, Minneapolis gets nearly as much sun each year as Houston, Texas. But it isn't just about how much sun you get. It's also about having access to great local incentive programs that make solar affordable. Learn what your options are to save with solar and visit allenergysolar.com today.
Who's your most trusted companion? Who's with you 24/7? What do you never leave home without? Your phone. But the screen is shattered. Don't panic. Bring it to Computer Revolution with cell phone repair. We have over 18 years experience fixing computer devices, all brands, all carriers. We'll replace that screen and have it back same day. Computer Revolution with cell phone repair in Roseville at Highway 36 in Fairview. Or call 651-633-6600. We fix phones. Same day. 7 days a week.
The number one source of the Twin Cities gay scene is All Digital. Follow Twin Cities Gay Scene on Facebook and Twitter. Sign up for the Scene Shot email blast for weekly updates and chances to win great prizes. No app is needed to view the bi-weekly web editions of Scene. It's GLBTQ media for the mobile generation. Find it all at TwinCitiesGayScene.com. That's TwinCitiesGayScene.com.
Gentle.
Awakened Living Infusion Radio Show. I'm Connie Bjork.
And I'm Michelle Kitzmiller.
And we are your hosts. Together we explore health, wellness, spirituality, emotions, and life issues from new perspectives. Join us as together we infuse vitality into life. Today we're talking about rewiring your brain for a better life. In this segment, we're going to talk about what stress does to this whole process. As we know, stress is, you know, we talked about in another program, you know, there's good parts to stress, and then there's the bad parts to stress. And so we're going to kind of talk about the bad parts of stress in this whole process of being positive and rewiring your brain. One of the first things to go in that process, if you're overstressed, is short-term memory. And that causes so many people heartache because we immediately, our brains rush to, oh my God, I have early onset Alzheimer's, that type of thing. Try taking some deep breaths and slowing down. That's probably not the case at all. But during those times, adrenaline is released into your system and other stress hormones, one called cortisol, which tends to last a little bit longer in our system. On a short-term basis, cortisol facilitates dopamine, which keeps you alert and activated in the moment. However, cortisol can be really corrosive to our brain and to the body if it stays activated too long. With all of these prolonged effects of cortisol running in your body, your levels of dopamine become depleted and it leaves you feeling even worse than you did before.
And cortisol is one of those things, it's challenging to deal with. There's just no way you can just shut it off.
Right.
And even after you've come out of maybe a long-term stressful period, there's still other things that continue to activate and release that. So it's an ongoing
chain reaction in your body, right?
Right. And we talked about that and how to deal with stress. How do we shut that off? And so there are ways in which to manage that and to help deal with it. When it comes to the brain, the issues of memory tend to be, when linked to stress, tend to be that the area of our brains start to shut off that record memory. And that's a gross generalization of what happens. But the hippocampus is the part of our brain that is associated with memory. And then the amygdala is associated with emotion. And so the Journal of Neuroscience recently published some research that showed that when we are under stress, and even after we feel like we're not experiencing that stress anymore, our memories seem to deplete and the emotional component seems to increase. And so basically, what that means is we tend to ignore factual information that's happening in the moment, and we rely more on our emotional experiences.
Which can't always be trusted.
Correct. And they like to take us and run away with us and take us to places maybe that aren't the safest or best for us.
Right.
So if you think about it, if you're experiencing stress, let's say you've just had a lot going on at work, a lot at home, maybe you had a report that was due for work and you handed it in, and then the next day you forgot where your keys were, you walked in a little late, and your boss wanted to talk to you about that thing you handed in yesterday. And you're already stressed out and your body's kind of like, oh, what happened? Even if your boss were to just sit you down and say, there was a piece missing, all I need you to do is fill that in and have it to me by the end of the day, your brain could potentially be taking you on a different route, taking you into guilt, taking you into anger or feelings of low self-esteem. And so really what you're getting is an emotional response to a conversation that doesn't need to be there. However, that's what's going on in our brains. That emotional component has basically overpowered the logical component. And so that can happen in anything. Think about parent-child relationships and how that goes. How sometimes when we say things to our children, we're just saying it as like, I just need you to do this. But as a child, if they're experiencing stress and for them, it's a lot more challenging to express that they might take that and internalize that as a negative emotional feeling and continue with that.
Right. And feelings of I'm a failure, I don't do anything right. And that continues on into our adult life. Those types of emotions too stay with you. So anything, and this goes back to, excuse me, anything that we haven't healed, right? Especially if it's an emotional component, anything that we haven't healed, in the present moment, we resort to or revert to the age at which we were as a child when we were first experiencing that emotion. So that's an important piece to remember during this too.
Right. And all of this is a continual rewiring of your brain. However, this is that negative aspect of it. It's negatively reorganizing itself.
Right. So then we have to really think about ways in which we can positively reorganize it. So let's talk a little bit about Alzheimer's and dementia.
Yes. So the issues with those things are that there's really no definitive answer of how any of this helps right now. Research does show that any time that we can engage our minds and create challenges for our brain to engage that resiliency of neuroplasticity, it's linked to better cognitive outcomes, better brain health. And so the hope is that that would be a protective measure against Alzheimer's and dementia. The verdict is still out. However, if you think about it, why not engage in those things right now if there's potential for it to help?
We're all human. We're living longer, so the potential increases as we age, right? Interesting to note that the emotional components last. It's really an interesting thing. My mother passed away from this. Music tends to stay with people far longer, which isn't really interesting, again, using that part of the brain, right? Two women that my mom experienced, when she was going through this process, played piano, but they didn't remember they played the piano. And so the nurses would bring them over to the piano and say, play something beautiful today. I don't play the piano. Yes, you do. And the minute their hands touched the keys, they could play beautifully. One of them only remembered one song, and she played that over and over and over again. But the other one remembered several, especially if you stood by her and sang with her some of those old hymns. She really remembered those. And so it was interesting to watch then over years how they began to lose that too. But it was the last thing to go. They could no longer really speak, but they could play the piano. And then that began to decline also. So the brain is just fascinating.
It is. It's really a remarkable organ.
Yeah. So there are things that we can do. We're going to talk a little bit more about that too. Things that we can do to make our brains stay healthy, to rewire for positivity now, so that we can keep that up. If you haven't learned a musical instrument, it's never too late. Next part of the show, we're going to be talking about specific exercises that you can do to rewire your brain for positivity and make your life better. For more information, check out our website at awakenedlivinginfusion.com. You can find our podcasts of the shows on our website, on AM950's website, iTunes, or wherever you get your podcasts. Thank you so much for joining us today on Awakened Living Infusion Radio Show. We hope you'll be back with us in just a few moments.
There are lots of ways to stay comfortable in a Minnesota winter. Hot Cocoa Warm Socks and Standards Winter Comfort Sale, where you can save up to $2,090 on a brand new 96% energy efficient furnace. There's also great deals on a variety of other furnaces and boilers. Don't wait. Unlike winter, these deals end November 30th. Learn more about Standard's Winter Comfort Sale at standardheatingdeals.com/radio. Standard Heating and Air Conditioning, comfort you deserve.
This is New Beginnings, hosted by award-winning broadcaster and speaker Freddie Bell.
Freddie, this generation of the baby boomers, people are living longer, so the baby boomers are taking care of elderly parents.
Let's talk about your health, and specifically, let's talk about Medicare. Our show features the concerns of America's 78 million baby boomers in employment, finance, health and nutrition, and even entertainment.
Catch New Beginnings with Freddie Bell, Saturdays at 11 on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
Enjoy a delicious home-cooked breakfast or lunch away from the kitchen at Milda's Cafe, now open 7 days a week. Milda's Cafe has been cooking up family favorites since 1964. Grab a coffee and sit down for a delicious Philly scramble, house-made rolls, or Denver omelet. Stop in for lunch where you'll find authentic Finnish pasties every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Open weekdays 6 to 3, weekends 8 to 2. Milda's Cafe on Glenwood Avenue, 4 blocks east of Penn.
Hi, this is Ken Hagland, host of the Minnesota Hospice and Healthcare Show, your source for elder care and caregiver solutions, inviting you to listen to our live call-in show airing on Saturdays from noon to 1. Each week, we provide answers to important questions regarding elder care and caregiver issues to help you and your loved ones plan for the future and enjoy your best quality of life. Please join us this Saturday from noon to 1 for the Minnesota Hospice and Healthcare Show and learn more about us at minnesotahospice.com.
While shopping for a fireplace insert at Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces, I was amazed at all the choices. Not just gas, electric, or wood-burning, but also built-in or freestanding, and options in every style from antique to modern. The staff really listened to us, explained the options, and helped us choose a fireplace we absolutely love. Now it warms our hearts and our home every winter. Thank you, Woodland Stoves, for a great addition.
Hi, I'm Peter Solak, putting in a word for the EPA Burn Wise campaign. It has important information about clean burning fireplaces. This is an important part of our mission at Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces. We know that the fireplace has to work. Work with your life, work with your living space, and also be environmentally smart. Come see us. Learn to burn wise. We have over 35 working units on display at the corner of Riverside and East Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis. Visit our store in person or online at woodlandstoves.com.
Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces, out of the ordinary products and services since 1977.
With your AM 950 weather, I'm Hunter Haas. Saturday, chance of snow, high around 26. Sunday, mostly cloudy with a high near 32. And Monday, mostly cloudy with a high near 24.
Don't miss the Home Improvement and Design Expo this Saturday only at the Moundsview Community Center. Featuring up to 150 home improvement companies, giveaways, and more. It's the Home Improvement and Design Expo this Saturday at the Moundsview Community Center. See it all at expoguys.com. That's expoguys.com.
Good morning and welcome to the Awakened Living Infusion Radio Show. I'm Connie Bjork.
And I'm Michelle Kitzmiller.
And we are your hosts. Together we explore health, wellness, spirituality, emotions, and life issues from new perspectives. Join us as together we infuse vitality into life. Today we're talking about rewiring our brains to improve our lives, and there's some general things that we're going to talk about first that'll help you along this path.
We were talking about neuroplasticity earlier and what that means, basically being able to rewire our brains for new thought processes and to have general brain health, just like we would want health for any other area of our body. So there are intellectual activities we can engage in that promote brain health, such as learning a new language.
Which we talked about.
Yes. And that, think about it, that could even be a computer language. It wouldn't even have to be.
Well, for some of us, that couldn't be a computer language.
Good. Online courses, crosswords, Sudoku. Thank you.
Something like that, right? Obviously, neither one of us do those.
Right. Debate, strategic board games, anything that helps you to take a different viewpoint. So if you're a mathematician, maybe engaging in gardening. Or if you're an artist, maybe taking a course in economics. But something that engages your brain in a different avenue than what it is used to. And then there's physical activity. So physical activity can help us both with the cognitive processes, but it can also help in those positive feelings because it releases things in our body called endorphins, which are related to feelings of general well-being. And so doing things that maybe challenge your coordination a little bit, possibly like yoga, if you like to hike or walk, taking different routes so that your brain has to actually think about what you're doing instead of, again, disengaging and just being habitual about things. Or finding simple exercises that involve balance, where you actually have to think about the movement that you're doing. For example, if you were maybe on your hands and knees and you had to think about lifting the opposite arm and the opposite leg at the same time, where you actually, there's a mental component to it and not just routine.
Sort of like rubbing your stomach and patting your head
exactly,
at the same
yes.
time, right?
I do that too.
Yeah. Feels a little awkward, right?
Yes.
Well, you know, we've spent a lot of time talking about thinking negatively or those types of things. One of my favorite things is to talk about joy. It's been proven with the use of MRIs that when we consistently focus on joy, because remembering what we focus our time, energy, and attention on, we get more of. When we do that for 15 minutes a day, it changes the connections in your brain. So when we're really in a depression, that type of thing, every single thought, whether it's new or not, has to move through into a brain that has been soft-wired for depression, anxiety, that type of thing. So what we want to do is create a new synapse or a new connection. So if you think about joy for 15 minutes every single day, it will start to make your brain then, instead of that rut being one of anxiety and depression, that pathway then will be one of joy. So I have my patients keep a joy journal, and you're not ranking them in any order, but what you do is you sit down 15 minutes every day, focus on what brings you joy. Sometimes when we're so depressed, we can't think of anything. And then I ask people to think back to their childhood. Maybe it was swinging, fishing with their parents or, you know, grandparent. Does music bring you joy? Your children? Anything, anything. And you can add to it, because the more you focus on joy, the more things you find that actually bring you joy. And then every day to do something for yourself that brings you joy. And you have, if you're stuck and, you know, it's been a really busy day or a really yucky day, you can go back to that joy journal, open it up, and find something to do. So that's really a positive one. And I love it because it's focusing on something really happy.
And that's a tool that you have with you all the time, like
absolutely.
You said. Because there are days where you just don't feel like engaging. Or
making one more decision is over the moon, right? I mean, it's just over the top. I can't do it. Forget it. You know, it's asking too much. Yeah. There's another process called FEED, and I mentioned that in the first segment. It stands for focus, effort, effortlessness, and determination. So with anything worthwhile, it's very critical that we are motivated, right? And change, hopefully, we're really motivated to do that. So the first step is an awareness of what it is that you want to change. For instance, there was an individual who finally decided, after being nagged by family for years about their irritability, that they really wanted to do something about it. So up until that moment, change was not possible because it was not internally motivated.
Have you been talking to my family?
No. No, I haven't. No, it wasn't you. So they decided that, yes, they did want to do that. So focus on it. They took a look at it, and they took a look at what was happening around it, and they were able to realize that their mouth opened before they thought about what they said, and so some pretty horrible things were said. And it was only, you know, and it took a while. It took space and time for them to realize, you know, that was just so totally not okay. So focusing on what situations typically, you know, our arguments usually happen around a pattern, right? No matter what, there's usually a pattern. So being able to recognize that pattern and then stopping themselves from saying anything and working through that, what would I like to say instead? How would I like to behave instead? So that really is focus, and it takes great effort to change that pattern that has been there for decades, right? And then doing that, those first two things, over and over again until that becomes effortless and it's now your new way of being, okay? And this individual said, okay, I'm done with that. I mastered that. And it's like, no, now you have to be determined to carry that on throughout your life. And that's how real change takes place. So if you can be that, you know, detached thing from and become that objective observer of your life, it really helps.
I love that you use the term space and time.
Yes.
But taking a moment in there, because what you're doing is engaging a cognitive process right there. Actually, mm-hmm. your brain has to be aware of what's going on, and you're making a conscious choice. And then that gives you the time then to come up with something. And that's not even, those aren't really the words I want to use, but to have a response versus reacting in the, to the situation.
Right. Looking through that as a process. When we, you know, react suddenly or always to the same situations, that emotional thing has gotten in the way where, you know, we talked about that in the last segment. We've associated that with an emotional reaction, not a response, but a reaction. And that's how we react every single time that situation comes up.
Which brings us to meditation and how that can be profound, because sitting quietly and going within, making that space and taking that time can create profound effects in our brain, which when we're talking about rewiring for happiness is totally applicable. Because in doing that, studies show that meditation increases the dopamine in your brain,
right,
which is that reward and helping to maintain focus. It increases serotonin, which has an overall calming effect. Oxytocin, which is a pleasure hormone, which can help create a sense of security and reducing fear. And then it also, when we talked about exercise and endorphins, meditation releases the same thing. So you have that sense of well-being. And so when you can create more space where you're physiologically creating an environment that nourishes that, and then you utilize that process, it makes it much more effortless.
It does. So we're also most often aware of the negative ways that people react or respond to things. This is really reacting, right? Let's talk about, you know, there's polarized thinking. Things are all black or white, all or nothing, good or bad, wonderful or rotten. Most of the times, this is our go-to, right? We just do it. Then there's overgeneralization, taking one incident and jumping to conclusions about your entire life from that one incident, you know, the office thing, right? Personalization, this goes with the four agreements, taking things personally, where any glance, any comment, it's got to always be about you, right? And it's a negative reflection on yourself. Or mind reading, negatively assuming that you know what other people are thinking and what they're going to do. And the shoulda, coulda, wouldas, making rigid and inflexible rules that don't allow for flexibility. You know, today's social environment is very complex. Or making everything a catastrophe. Everything is going to just be the worst case scenario. Then there's emotional reasoning, basing opinions on how you feel rather than the facts. And we talked about that earlier. And then the pessimism, right? Seeing a negative outcome for most events. And there's always that, you know, is your glass half empty or half full kind of a thing. So what can you do to change that? Well, you know, things are really shades of gray. And if you think about all of the different shades between black and the color white, and considering all the possibilities between them, it's not all or nothing, right? This allows you to really adjust your reality somewhere between the two, and there's so many possibilities. And then there's context checking, adjusting your opinions and your perceptions to the contents of the situation that you're in, and not going in with a preset opinion. And this is what really requires you to be fully in the present moment.
Right, because as we talked about before, we tend to draw on past experiences mm-hmm. to draw conclusions about what's happening now.
Right.
Even though the context may be different, the people may be different.
Absolutely. And then there's optimism again. Is your glass half empty or full, right? That you consider every situation as an opportunity, and every problem that comes up is an opportunity for growth. Which is really a much better way to look at it. Then detaching is, you know, disconnect yourself from repetitive negative beliefs or situations. Remove yourself. And externalizing problems. So when something happens, realizing that it's it's an issue, it's a problem, but it doesn't devalue your worth. And then remembering that belief is very important in your aspect of rewiring your brain. There's a two-way street between your thoughts and your moods, so be careful what you think. It's incredibly important. So we talked about the joy journal, but what about a book of possibilities? There's a movie, a holiday movie, I think it's called The Holiday or something like that, with Queen Latifah, and she had a book of possibilities. These were all the things that she wanted to have in her life. So it's sort of like a vision board and a book. You know, and think about that. What would you put in yours? These are important things to ask yourself. The book of possibilities. If there were no limits, nothing was holding you back, no monetary things, nothing was holding you back, what would you like to see possible in your life? Do you want to start a business of your own? Do you want to get married? Do you want to be an astrophysicist? You know, whatever you want for your life, put it down, because the more that we see something, say something, feel something, the more real it can be for you. On the next segment of the show, we're going to be talking about other things that affect the positive wiring of your brain. For more information, check out our website at awakenedlivinginfusion.com. You can find podcasts of our show on our website, AM950's website, iTunes, and more. Thank you so much for joining us. We'll be right back.
November is Govember at Rudy Luther Toyota. With the end of 2018 in sight, it's time to clear out the remaining 2018 Toyotas. Rudy Luther has huge discounts on the most popular small SUV, the RAV4, and Toyota is offering a $3,000 rebate on 2018s through November. If you want a larger SUV, try the 2018 Highlander with 0% financing for 60 months. You'll also get the Holiday Station gas discount for 3 years with purchase of a new Rudy Luther vehicle. November is Govember, so get going over to Rudy Luther Toyota, the southeast corner of 394 and 169 in Golden Valley.
Native Earth Radio is proud to announce we're adding an extra hour.
1 hour's too fast.
That's right, Uncle Curtis.
Great. More time for me to share important information about our sacred animals.
And report national Native news with reporters all around the country. Saturdays from 1 to 3 p.m.
We are awake.
Find us on iTunes, SoundCloud, and streaming live on Facebook.
Victor's 1959 Cafe in South Minneapolis is a locally owned and operated restaurant offering traditional Cuban food. Open for breakfast and lunch daily with dinner Tuesday through Saturday. For night shift workers, Victor's even has both a morning and evening happy hour, and Victor's now accepts dinner reservations too. Stop in and try some delicious, authentic Cuban cuisine like ropa vieja and seafood paella. Make your reservation and learn more at victors1959cafe.com. Victor's 1959 Cafe, revolutionary Cuban cooking.
Hi, I'm Matt McNeil, and I want to encourage you to join me weekday afternoons at 3 p.m. for the Matt McNeil Show. It's a Twin Cities-based full hour of talk where we discuss what's going on in the state and in the nation from a Minnesota perspective. We'll be joined by a lot of great guests, and we'll take your phone calls. Interact with us on the Twitter page, at Matt McNeil Show, the Facebook page, Progressive Citizen X, the Matt McNeil Show, and on email, comment at am950radio.com. The Matt McNeil Show, weekday afternoons at 3, right here on AM950.
Hello, this is Ellen Krug from Hidden Edges Radio. When I'm not on the radio, I'm standing in front of audiences training about diversity and inclusion and on how to be welcoming to others who are different from us. More than ever, employers and organizations need professional diversity and inclusion training. I can offer that training through my company, Human Inspiration Works, LLC. I'd love to make your workplace or organization more welcoming. For more information, go to humaninspirationworks.com. Thank you.
Turn to Auto Technical with your vehicle donation. We have families waiting for a car. You know, over 85% of unemployed are successful in finding and keeping a job if they have dependable transportation. A car plus a job equals a life changed. 612-919-5526. We have families waiting for a car. 919-5526 or autotech.org.
Wish for me like the petals of a rose bloom in the season, gentle and slow. My body is the mountain, the ocean, the river, the sand and the soul. The life giver, so come on now, my friend. Speak to me, help me understand. Let us walk together. Take my hand and we will heal this land.
morning, and welcome to Awakened Living Infusion Radio Show. I'm Connie Bjerk.
And I'm Michelle Kitzmiller.
And we are your hosts. Together we explore health, wellness, spirituality, emotions, and life issues from new perspectives. Join us as together we infuse vitality into life. If you have a desire to live a life that is more than what you are currently experiencing, if you feel stuck, are experiencing health concerns, or are curious about ways to improve your life, this show will give you new perspectives and steps to change your life. Today we're talking about the many ways to rewire your brain for a better life. In the last segment, we will be talking about other things that you can do to rewire your brain for a new habit, to be more positive, whatever it is that you are desiring in your life. First thing we're going to talk a little bit about is nutrition.
Nutrition is important because it sets the environment for everything else going on. And we want to have an environment that promotes positive, lasting change. And so it's important, just like with the rest of our body, that our brain is in an anti-inflammatory state. And to do that, there's so many great food choices out there that we can make to have that happen. So first thing I would recommend is avoiding sugar. Sugar is the number one thing that tends to promote inflammation systemically all over your body.
So that's the biggest one for people to kick.
Absolutely.
It's hidden and everything.
It's prevalent in your ketchup and your barbecue sauce and any other thing you might not think about, but it is there.
Right.
So eat a lot of vegetables. That is the number one thing you can do for yourself. Vegetables are plumb full of nutrients that everything in your body needs, good carbs, the complex carbohydrates that your body needs to feed itself, and not the simple sugars like your cakes and donuts and bread and all sorts of things that we really love to eat but aren't the best for us.
Comfort food, right?
Right. Fruits are good. We want to keep meats that are promoting a good balance of omegas in our body. And so when we hear things about eating salmon, freshwater salmon or cold water fish, things like that, that are going to promote anti-inflammatory effects in our body, grass-fed beef is way better for you than traditional beef because it keeps what the animal eats promotes inflammation in their body, and that can be passed on. And so we want to keep that down in every way we can. Avoiding fried foods. Nuts are great for brain health, walnuts in particular. In Chinese medicine, there's always an association with if a food looks like an organ, it's good for that organ.
Yes.
It's pretty fascinating. So kidney beans are good for your kidneys. Walnuts, because it looks like a little brain, is good for your brain. And the science behind that is actually because of the oils that it has that promote the anti-inflammatory effects and promote brain health and cognition, as a matter of fact. And so we want to eat those good things. Eat good fats like avocados and coconut oil. I'm just going to put this in here because I'm sort of my pet peeve, but do not cook with olive oil. Don't heat it above, I think it's 110 or 119 degrees. It actually turns the oil bad, and then it's just like cooking with vegetable oil. So that's just my little aside for the day. But there are other wonderful things that we can do for our brain. Sometimes we might need a supplement, and if we're not eating those omegas, maybe we need a supplement as a fish oil. Or turmeric is getting so much research right now on its anti-inflammatory effects and all the pro-wonderful things that it does for the body. Nootropics, which are actually precursors to all the different neurotransmitters. And there are ways that the foods that we can eat that then promote those neurotransmitters as well.
There's some other things that are great to eat if you want to improve your sleep, calmness, and mood. Turkey. We all know the effects of turkey after Thanksgiving, right? Milk, whole wheat, pumpkin seeds, cottage cheese, almonds. And to decrease tension and irritability, like the story that I told you, and to increase calmness, eggs, peaches, grapes, avocados, sunflower seeds, granola, peas. And to increase dopamine, right? For those feelings of pleasure. Fish, oats, wheat, dairy products, chicken. And to increase our energy or feelings of pleasure and memory, the peanuts, lima beans, sesame seeds, chicken, yogurt, milk. And for memory, egg yolks. That brings us to another important thing, which is sleep. Half the population reports having trouble sleeping once a week. 15% have trouble sleeping two or more nights a week. And it's more common than that for people who are experiencing depression, anxiety, or more stress. So there are some lifestyles changes that you can make and environmental factors that greatly contribute to this, such as poor air quality in the bedroom, your body being too warm, you just can't sleep, caffeine, nicotine, alcohol, sugar, heavy meals before bed, exercising too close to bed, or not exercising at all, daytime naps, computer use in the late evening, your bedroom being too warm as well as your body, sporadic noises that you're not aware of, you don't know what they are, and it gets your attention, right? And light. So we invite you to really take a look at sleep hygiene as well, because that's an important piece to this too. Here's something that I really find intriguing. If you have this issue, you wake up early, very early in the morning, and you can't get back to sleep, expose yourself to bright light very early in the morning. This will even out your circadian rhythm, the natural rhythm of your body's wakefulness and sleep. And it will hit your pineal gland so that it won't produce that melatonin throughout the day, that your body temperature will be at its lowest then when you fall asleep. And if you wake up in the middle of the night and can't get back to sleep, expose yourself to light later on in the morning. And then again, this will encourage a lower body temp in the middle of your sleep cycle and promote staying asleep. We also have social medicine, being in relationships, eliminating as much isolation as you can in your life, because we were created to be social beings with other people. So these are all important things too.
So the takeaways here are making sure that we have a good diet that's keeping inflammation out of our bodies. Right. Pay attention to how foods make you feel after you eat them. You don't have to go through a bunch of testing to figure out that something is not really being effective for you. Getting enough sleep so that our brains work correctly, so that our memories are going where they're supposed to go, so that we're producing all those neurochemicals that promote health and wellness mentally, emotionally, and physically. And being social, right? Which also promotes all those good, loving feelings and rewires us for happiness.
So reach out. If you know of somebody that's pretty isolated, reach out. Your voice may be the only one that they hear that day. Join us next Saturday as we explore the many ways gratitude affects our lives and mind, body, spirit, and emotions. We'd like to thank you today for joining us on Awakened Living Infusion Radio. For more information, check out our website at awakenedlivinginfusion.com. You can also find our podcasts on our website, AM950's website, iTunes, and more. You've been listening to Awakened Living Infusion Radio Show here on AM950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.